Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I'm glad that you're all here. I'm glad that you're all out there on the YouTube or whatever, but it is good for us to be together as we continue our green and growing season after Pentecost. We have Sunday school bags in the very back pew. So once again, if there are children here, let's get him a Sunday school bag. If you have children that are going to visit your house today or this week, let's make sure we get him a Sunday school bag. They are a wonderful way for those children to see through crafts and stories and all kinds of things the love of God for them. And so let's make sure they get a Sunday school bag. This coming Thursday, we continue our Bible study on the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9. Oh, four whole chapters in the Bible. They're not horribly long or anything. So you can join us as we look at these stories of the early church, as we find inspiration from God's people. We begin our Bible study at 7 o'clock in the evening, and again, you are welcome. Sunday in 2 weeks, we will be celebrating confirmation with two of our young people, Libby Hurley and Tatum Wernz. At the 10:30 service, they will be affirming their baptism. And so I hope that you can at least pray for them, if not come a little later that day so that you can celebrate with Libby and Tatum. We are here this morning to add our voices in prayer and praise and thanksgiving to those at the communion of saints all around us. And so let us begin our worship by please rising. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our gathering song is Our God, and we sing together. God, you are the tree of life, offering shelter to all the world. Graft us into yourself and nurture our growth, that we may bear your truth and love to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from Ezekiel chapter 17, verses 22 through 24. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break it off a tender one from the topmost of young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain high of Israel, I will plant it, in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit, and become a noble cedar. Under it every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, I make high the low tree, I dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, I will accomplish it. The word of the Lord. Second lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 17. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others. But we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are well known to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but we giving an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore all have died, and he died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. Jesus also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was the spring of 1973, and I was in the second grade, and we planted bean seeds into styrofoam cups. That's about the time frame, all the rest of that, right? It was actually kind of exciting for all of us to see all of those little paper, those styrofoam cups with our names written on them. They're all in the windowsill in the back of the classroom, and we waited for those beans to grow. Now, there was no prize for whose plant came out first or who had the biggest bean by the time we were taking them home, but as a second grader, you watched those things. So when Mary Cudgel's plant came up first, we were all just a little bit jealous because mine wasn't that fast. And when Dwayne Walkerfuss went home with a huge bean plant, we were all a little envious of him as well. Now, all of these years later, it's still interesting to me to see how people put so much of their lives and their personalities into lawns and houseplants and flowers and gardens. We watch to see when the neighbor mows his lawn, because then, of course, I have to mow mine, because otherwise mine's going to look unkempt. There we go. All right? We watch to see how the flowers and the rest of the houses on our block are growing compared to ours, you know? We rejoice when you get the first tomato off of the plant in your garden, and then within weeks you're overwhelmed because there are so many of them. We watch as an apple tree blossoms, and then when all of the apples start to show up, and it is all of it fascinating to me. As I was driving moving children this weekend, and you looked at the country around us, you can see the corn and the beans starting to grow up. You could watch as the wheat was ripening. And as you do that, it always gives me hope. Today, both Ezekiel and Jesus give us metaphors and parables about the growth of God's kingdom, and more importantly, about our growth as God's children. They remind us that growth is in God's hands and in God's time, but that growth really does happen, and so we rejoice. From our first reading this morning, Ezekiel's metaphor. In that reading, we hear God speaking, claiming that God will take a sprig and will plant it in order that it might produce boughs and bear fruit. Just like Ezekiel's vision of the valley of dry bones, it is God's action and instigation that brings life. From the creative and redemptive initiative of God comes the growth of God's people so that we can bear fruit. We can work beside God to bring light and life, care and gentleness, generosity and kindness to those around us. But it is God that helps us grow. Jesus shows us the same thing in his first parable today, where he says the kingdom of God is like seeds being sown. The seed sprouts and it grows. We know not how, Jesus says. And that's true, at least for me, all right? Why does a seed grow? You know, you put that bean seed in that little styrofoam cup full of dirt, why does it grow? How does it know that it's supposed to grow? And for me, I'm still pondering this. How does a seed know to grow up? And which way is actually up? Can you plant a seed upside down or something like that? Now, I'm sure that there are botanists and biologists and even farmers who might have some kind of answer for this. But for me, the real answer is always God. God is why seeds grow. God is why we grow physically, intellectually, but more importantly, in faith. We grow because God helps us to grow. And God helps us to grow so that we can bear fruit for our neighbors. We discover today in the gospel reading that it is the blessing and will of God that we grow in our faith, that we grow in our faithfulness, blessing the world around us from the blessings that we are given. And today we are taught that growth is in God's hands. But growth is also in God's time. Now, as second graders, we couldn't make our seeds grow any faster than they were growing. You know, you couldn't sit out there and just think it to grow faster, right? Some tried to give theirs extra water, trying to make sure that that was going to help it to grow. But that can actually hurt the plant as much as it helps the plant, just like not watering it enough can do that. Actually, there is really nothing that we can do to make a plant, a tree, a shrub, a child grow any faster than it is growing. It is in God's time that we grow, that we mature, that we bear fruit. I knew a man who thought that he had wasted much of his life. Now, he wasn't a criminal or even a cheat, but as he looked at his life, he didn't see a lot that he was proud of. Now, he was a successful businessman. After high school, he went into the service, and when he got out of the service, he worked construction. And he worked there for years. Eventually, he was bidding the jobs, and he became a partner in the company that he had worked for. Now, for all of that time, he was a big, burly, rough kind of guy, quick with a profanity, quick with a scathing answer. Now, I met him as we were preparing for him to get married to a member of my congregation. As they dated, they also got more and more involved in the life of the congregation, and he was enjoying himself and was profoundly moved. He confessed to me that he wasn't really such a good guy, and I told him that God thought he was. In fact, I told him God loved him deeply. I also told him that we are forgiven the past because God wants to work with us right now, and 10 years ago isn't right now. Now, this man, you could call him, I suppose, a late bloomer. But in God's time, his faith grew, he bore fruit. And it is also in God's time, which is really all of the time, that we are encouraged to grow. We are encouraged to grow and bear fruit because there are people around us who need that, who need us. The mustard seed, small as it is, grows to provide shelter. The sprig that is transplanted grows to be a mighty cedar under which many will live and thrive. The world around us needs the love of God. It needs comfort and protection. It needs compassion and concern. And as we grow in faith, we help provide this. As we bear the fruit of the Spirit, we come to those around us with joy and peace, with gentleness and kindness, with generosity and love. Now, we may not feel that we can be part of this. We may feel insignificant when compared to the needs of the world around us. But it is God who wants to work with us, and with God, all things are possible. We are also never alone. With God by our side and with one another to aid, we get to reach out to the world and bear fruit, help, feed, clothe, listen, walk with, cry with, laugh with the people all around us. And that is the promise that we hear today. This is what the kingdom of God can look like. God helping us to grow. God staying with us as we bear fruit. God working with us to change the world. I once heard a quote that said, anyone can count the number of seeds in an apple, but only God knows how many apples there are in a seed. We can always look and see the fruits of those around us, but it is God who stands beside us and helps us to grow. Sometimes we are the seeds that God is planting all around us. And sometimes it is the seed of God's love that is planted deep into our lives. Whichever it is for you today, it is God who makes those seeds to grow, and it's from that growth that love flows all around us. So may the seed God's plant, may the seeds God plants grow tall and strong and fruitful, even all of us. Amen. Please rise. In remembrance of our baptism, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now let us come before the triune God in prayer. Holy God, you plant the seeds of faith in every nation. Enliven your church so that the good news of your grace may root and grow throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Creator, even the trees, shrubs, and flowers delight in your goodness. From the depths of the soil to the highest mountain, bring forth new plants. Restore growth to places suffering drought. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. judge of nations. We pray for our leaders and those in power. Grant them the ability to regard those under their charge with humility, dedicating their lives in service to others. Lord, in your mercy, divine comforter, you show compassion to those in need and provide relief to those who call on you. Bless all who suffer, especially people trapped in cycles of poverty and homelessness. Lord, in your mercy, sovereign God, this house of worship belongs to you. We give thanks and pray for our church musicians. We dedicate to you the joyful noise that comes from this place, the cries of children, the melody of voice and instruments, and the songs from our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, eternal God, we give thanks for our ancestors and the faith who are now at home with you. We look forward to that day when we are reunited in your new creation. Lord, in your mercy, we lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you send to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It is in love that God helps our faith to grow, and it is in the spirit of that same love I bid you now come to his table of grace.
Every trial we will face, lost to be saved, none too broken or ashamed. All are welcome in this place. By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful.
Rise. As the body and blood of our Lord Jesus fills us with strength, we are also sent out in love and service. And so together we pray, gracious and abundant God, you have done great things for us, and we rejoice. In this bread and cup, you give us life forever. In your boundless mercy, strengthen us and open our hearts to the world's needs. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. I hope you have a beautiful day and a blessed week as you go into the world with hope
to make God's vision our mission.
That you do.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.